This week it's a double sedrum. And the second one is Kadoshim. So this discourse is all about holiness. The mystery of holiness. And there are a number of different places where we have about Kadoshim. Like at the beginning of the second sedra, which we've got actually on the second page, on the back of the first page, we've got the beginning of the second sedra. God spoke to Moses saying, Dabel kol adat b'nei Yisrael, speak to the whole community, the Jewish people, v'amat alem, and say to them, Kadoshim ti you, you should be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem elokechem, because I, your God, am holy. Your Lord God, am holy. Now then it goes on, later in the Sedra, is another passage about holiness, and which I didn't manage to photocopy. Well, there again, it says at the end of the sedra, "Ve'yitim li kadoshim ki kadosh ani Hashem." You should be holy because I, God, am holy. And then also in the next sedra, it also speaks about in Emor. It also speaks about being holy. So there are a number of different passages about being holy. Now, the one that we have in Emor is on the first page. V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. I will be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. Ani Hashem mekadishchem. I am God who makes you holy. So what the discourse explores is the concept of holiness. In a sense, what does holiness mean? And divine holiness, our holiness, you know, somehow exploring this theme in quite a striking way. So, and this was a discourse that was said in 1965. And then it was published, edited by the Rebbe in 1990. For the Yahrzeit of the Rebbe's brother. So that's the discourse, and we'll try and explore it together. Yom ba ya ya ba ya ba yo ya yiram ba ra yom ba yo Yamba ya ya yamba ya yodom ha yiridamba ha yiridamba yom ha ho ya yiridamba ya ya yo ya yiridamba yamba yam ha yiridamba ha yiridamba yo ha ya yamba yiridamba ya ha yamba yiridam Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yam, bam, boom. Right, so now we're beginning the discourse on the next page. Right, so, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people, Ani Hashem mekadishchem, I am God who makes you holy. So this is actually from Sedra Emor, which is the Sedra next week. Umavaya Admo HaZaken, and the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, the author of Tanya, he explains in his book of Hasidic teachings, Likutei Torah, Dibur Matchil Zeh, which begins with these words. V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, that these words, I will be sanctified among the Jewish people, which means gilui kedushato, the revealing of His holiness, Yidbarech, may He be blessed, betoch halev de Yisrael, within the heart of the Jewish person, the Jewish people or the Jewish person. So it's saying that this verse, I will be sanctified among the Jewish people, means God's holiness will be revealed within the heart of the individual Jew or the hearts of all the, or of all the Jewish people. So that's something that's happening. There is a kind of a transfer of some sort of spiritual quality, or revelation of some sort of spiritual quality, coming from God and which is within the heart of the Jew. And it explains there in that discourse that huba often de milamata lamaila. It's in a way which actually takes place from below to above. So there's a relationship between the divine and the individual. Let's look at it in terms of the individual. There's a relationship between the divine and the individual, and the movement is going from below to above. That means from the person to God. Shelibam shel Yisrael, because the heart of the individual Jew, bo'er karish be'esh, is burning like flames of fire. Likalel bikdushato yitparach, to be absorbed in the holiness of God. Va'al yedei zeh, and through that burning, through that yearning, through that longing that comes from the individual, nimshach achakach, there then is a kind of response that flows after that. Ani Hashem mekadishchem, I am God who makes you holy. Hamshachat kedushato yitbarach, the flow that comes from God, may He be blessed, milamayla lamata, from above to below. So in other words, there is this burning, we're talking here about a kind of an interaction which is taking place. There's the soul, the spiritual energy within the individual, which is longing for God. It is burning, it is seeking godliness. And then there is a response from God, which is a kind of a corresponding flow from above to below to us. And this dual flow, this flow from us to God and from God to us, is here being called holiness. Holiness, the holy. Now, the first question we can ask is, what happens if we don't experience this burning yearning for God? So what Chabad Hasidic teachings will tell us, well, it's hidden inside us. Just because we don't feel it doesn't mean it's not there. It is there. And the evidence for it being there, one of the things that Tanya says is that, Rabbi Shneur Zalman's Tanya, is that there are certain situations where a person suddenly is filled with this powerful feeling for godliness, even though much of the time you don't notice it. The person's not aware of it, and no one else is aware of it. The person might not be a religious person, might be very secular, into completely different things in life. But then suddenly, there is this burning bond which expresses itself. I remember when I was, I had a school friend, and then I left school. You know, we all went to university. So one of my friends was completely left-wing, anti-Israel, lived with a non-Jewish girl, like completely cold to anything Jewish, vocally, wasn't interested, wasn't into anything like that. And then it was the day that the Six-Day War broke out. So at that time, we were living out of London. My wife had a job, a university job. So I phoned up this old friend of mine
to see, you know, what's his take on the Six-Day War. You know, thinking I'm going to get this sort of left-wing thing, you know, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, I didn't know what he was going to say. So the non-Jewish girlfriend answers the phone. Hello, can I speak to so-and-so? He's gone off to fight for Israel. You know, in fact, when he came back, you know, he says he didn't actually fight. He was put working in the orange grove so that someone else could go and fight. But I was very struck with, you know, there suddenly, you know, forget about the, you know, his whole take on everything was suddenly transformed, you know, and there he is. So in Tanya, it'll say that deep down a person has a Jewish soul. And it suddenly expresses itself quite unexpectedly. And so even if we are not aware of this frame, I mean, I suppose, you know, in fact, what we should try to do, knowing that the soul is there, knowing that the spiritual energy is there, we should be trying to fan it. We should try and find ways to bring it to life when it's not an emergency and it's not a war, God forbid, you know, but in other, in positive situations, and try and use it in positive aspects of life. You can somehow get your divine soul to flare into action to do good for another person. It doesn't have to be responding to a dangerous emergency. It can be in a positive frame of everyone being in a positive situation. But so therefore, this analysis of this interaction of holiness is that there is a flow from below to below, a flow from below to above. Let's just try and depict this graphically. So there's a flow from below to above, that comes first. And then there is a corresponding flow from God to the person, and that's the second stage. So we're looking at godliness beyond, and so there's this flow coming to the person. So the person reaches towards the divine, and the divine responds, and this is a kind of a flow of holiness. And it depicts it here in terms of fire. Now, looking on line 9, at the end of the line, Uvazer atzmo, now in this itself, ba'am shacham lemaile lemata, the flow that comes from above to below, shnei inyanim, there are two aspects. Ha'am shacha al yedei Torah, on the one hand, there's the flow through Torah, and secondly, v'ham shachal yedei mitzvah, the flow which comes through mitzvot. So, in other words, godliness is flowing towards us, and the way in which we take this godliness, well, on the one hand, it's words of Torah. So, God is actually reaching towards us with Torah, and so giving us Torah, that we can study the Torah. And so we, studying the Torah, we're imbibing that flow, which is coming from above to us. Torah comes to us from above. And another aspect is through mitzvot. The mitzvot also are being presented to us by God. There's this mitzvah, that mitzvah. And so by us keeping the mitzvot is another way in which we are responding to that divine flow that comes from above. So let's maybe put this flow in. There's two parts to it. Torah and mitzvah. So one of them is Torah and the other one is mitzvah. So we've got this reaching to God from below and the response from God, which has got two aspects. So let's write here Torah and the other one is mitzvah. And so both of those are ways in which we can connect to God. And this movement from below is like the fire in the heart, that's reaching to the divine.
You know, I thought you were going to make an aleph out of those arrows at one point. Because if you look at the shape of the aleph, I mean, the way it's printed up here, for example.
Right.
Got one line up and two coming down.
Right.
I mean, you can look at it like that.
It could be. It could be. I mean, the... one of the explanations of the aleph So one of the explanations of the aleph is that there is a yud above, which is from God, like yud ke vav ke, God's name. The yud below, which is the soul of the individual reaching to God, and the line in between is like the letter vav, which relates to Torah. So the vav is the number six, and six is there are six orders of the Mishnah. So it's like the line of Torah in between joins the person and God. So in a way, similar kind of image. Here we're talking about the fact that the person reaches towards the divine. There's a flow from God to us, which is, as it were, both. You know, the vav, the middle line of the aleph, is part of this flow, which is coming to us. And the thing is that Torah and mitzvot are both holy. They're both sacred. The Torah is not an ordinary book. It's, even in a printed book, let alone a sacred Torah scholar, printed book, one tries not to deface it, to be careful with it. The Torah teachings are sacred. And then, of course, the mitzvah, the doing of a mitzvah is a sacred activity. So this flow of sanctity coming to us from God relates to, or is a response to, the flow which comes from us towards God. Now, given this aspect of consciousness and the question of our lack of consciousness, possibly, about our reaching towards the divine, the thing is that Torah and mitzvah are there anyway. The Torah and mitzvah come to us. We may not be sensitive to the spiritual energy which is there, neither in them nor in us. But what Hasidic teachings are trying to do are make us aware of that spiritual energy in order to make us more involved in actually doing them and appreciate more what is happening when we do them. Now, it then goes on in line 11. V'hamshacha sh'al yedei Torah, the flow coming through Torah, he bipnimiuta olamot, is in the inner dimension of the worlds, beruchaniyut, spiritually, and in order that this flow should also be in the outer aspect of the world, begashmiyut, physically, hu al yedei ma'aseh mitzvot, it's through the action of the mitzvot. Now, so that's another dimension, that's another aspect of this that we are hearing. That when the Torah flows, it's something spiritual, and there's an environment which is being created, if you like. And by the fact of a person learning Torah, well, he might be anywhere in the world, or she, but the fact that one is learning Torah is making a certain spiritual atmosphere at that point, but it's something spiritual. Whereas mitzvot, by the fact of a person trying to keep mitzvot in this world, is somehow making a physical domain. It's the physicality of the world. You know, for example, one mitzvah is mezuzot. Okay, so a person is living in a home, and now they put mezuzot on the doorposts of the different doorways in the house. So that has now transformed that house. The house is now a more sacred domain. It's the physical house, but it's a sacred domain because of the mezuzot. Person keeps kosher in the home, keeps Shabbat in the home, lights Shabbat candles. It's all making a physical, tangible domain. Someone walks into a home where Shabbat is being observed. You can feel it in a tangible way. So that is the way in which mitzvot are affecting the physical dimension of the world, while the Torah is the spiritual dimension. So the fact that people are sitting and studying Torah, that's also creating a domain, but it's in a more it's the inner life force. Vazehu, now I've also got a siddur here. Now in this prayer book, it has, I mean, there are various times when we say Kadosh, 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 Holy, 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 Hashem Tzvakot is the Lord of hosts, Meloch Ol Ha'aretz Kevodo, the whole world is filled with His glory. Now, we say this a number of times in the prayers. It's there in the lead up to the Shema, as we have over here. And it's also in the Kedusha, when the congregation prays the Amidah, then there's the repetition of the Amidah, and in the repetition there's Kedusha. And this happens on a weekday, on Sabbath, on festivals. Then there is this line again, holy, 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 this three times holy. So what it says over here in the discourse, line 14, V'zeo ma she'omrim gimel pamim kadosh. This is why we say three times kadosh. The kadosh harishon, the first time we say kadosh, holy, that is ha'ala milamata lemaila, that's the reaching from below to above. V'ha'kadosh ha'sheni v'ha'shlishi heima amshachot milamaila lemata. And the second and the third kadosh are the flow from above to below al yedei Torah v'al yedei mitzvah. Through Torah and through mitzvah. So if we put number two there and number three there, so we've got the flow from below to above and the response of Torah and mitzvah. So those are the three times, kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So that's an interaction with the divine that we actually experience or could experience daily. And by giving us this sort of kavanah of what it's about, this sort of inner intention, you understand the word kavanah? So giving us this kavanah can give more meaning to when we say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. So the three times saying kadosh. Okay, so let's take it a little bit further.
Is that the order of the kadosh? You've got one, two, three. So it's like the first kadosh is from us.
Yes.
Second one is Torah and the third one is mitzvah.
Well, that's the order he gave and that's the way I understand it. You see, the Torah is the inner spiritual dimension and the mitzvah are the outer, more practical dimension. In order to know what mitzvah to do, you need to have Torah. Mm. So that, you know, that he gave it in that order, and that's why I think that's the way to understand. Of course, in practical life, certain mitzvah are much more common than learning Torah. You know, so a person may have a lifestyle where certain mitzvah are somehow built into that lifestyle. But what is much more rare is actually learning Torah, study of Torah.
But the mitzvot came from Torah.
Yeah, we wouldn't know what mitzvot to do if we didn't have the Torah telling us how to do it. Even though there's an interesting idea in the Talmud that if we didn't have the Torah, there's certain mitzvot that we would learn from a cat. From a cat, we would learn modesty. We would learn different kinds of mitzvah from different places. But nonetheless, the origin of the idea that behavior X is good and behavior Y is not good, that really comes from the Torah. You know, Torah as the source of morality. Okay, number two, paragraph two on page Vav. Umamshich, and he continues, that's Rabbi Shneur Zalman, in his discourse in the Kutub Torah, in the, see, there's the discourse, then a sort of a further explanation of the discourse. Shegimel Pamim Kadosh, these three times of Kadosh, Hem Shalosh Madregot, they are three levels. Now here we're going into the sort of the schema of the Sfirot. Kadosh HaRishon, the first Kadosh, Hu Keter, is crown, Shalamayle Mechochma, which is above wisdom. That means the very top of the system of the Sfirot. Kadosh HaSheni, Hu Keter Dizeh Ampin, the second Kadosh. Now, I think we need to have a kind of, if we have the infinite, we have Ein Sof at the top, and then we have the crown, Keter, and then we have Chochma Bin Adat, and then Chesed Gvura Tiferet Netzach Hod Yesod, and then kingship. Right, so that's, so this is supposed to be six. Now, so one, two, three. Do you see there's like three different realms within the Sfira? First of all, there's crown of the whole system of Sfira, Keter of the whole system. Then this middle part, which is kindness, severity, the sort of the emotions of the Sfira, that has also got a kind of a crown dimension. And then there's kingship, which has also got a crown dimension, and that's the third level. So in other words, the first kind of holy, which is us reaching towards God, comes from a infinitely spiritual dimension beyond the Sfira. The second one is from somewhere within the Sfira, and the third one is from the lowest level of the Sfira. Because Torah, remember with the Aleph that I mentioned the six. So the six Sfira, there are six Sfira here. Those six Sfirot are like the nature of Torah, and so there's the crown dimension flowing to us, and kingship, which is like actual practical action. Kingship is the feminine, and the same way that the woman organizes the home, leading to practicality, so kingship represents the kingship of God. We do the mitzvot, we're obeying what God has commanded us to do. So these are three levels of this spirituality which is flowing to us. Three levels of this holiness interpreted not just as these sort of arrows coming out of the blue, but in terms of the system of the Sfira. And the interesting thing is that number one, which is us reaching to God, is described as the very highest level, because that's something which comes from the godliness inside us. That's why we reach to God. Now, v'yesh lama abir b'zeh, and the Rebbe is suggesting an explanation of this. Al pi hayudua, as is known, shekadosh bichlal, the whole idea of holiness, kai al o hasovev, is something which is the surrounding radiance. Holiness suggests something, shehu kadoshu muvdal meishtal shalot, something which is beyond, something which is, kadosh means separate. Even the word kiddushin, which is the word for betrothal, and when the groom under the chuppah puts a ring on the bride's finger, she is now betrothed to him, and the word for that action is kiddushin. Now, he is separating her to him. She is now his bride and cannot have a relationship with any other man. She is now his Right, and so in the same way, kadosh means separate from the world, and the fact of us being bonded to God in a sense beyond other things. V'lechein ikai inyan de kadosh. So therefore, the main concept of holiness, of the first kind of holiness, hu beketo shelamayim echochma, is in this concept of the crown, which is beyond wisdom, above. Ki chokhmah reishit hishtalshelut, because wisdom is the beginning of the downchaining of worlds. And here we're talking about a level which is beyond that. And our reaching to God is actually on that very exalted level. V'zeh shegam haketa d'zeh ampin v'keta d'malchut. Now, the fact that at the lower levels, the depicting these sort of lower dimensions, and it's also called kadosh at each of those lower levels, when you have from this higher dimension this exalted quality called keter, crown, and there is a sort of a down chaining of different levels of sfirot which are also called crown, is because these all hilokish tashalut ilava alu. It's not like something which manifests itself on a lower level in a different form. This holiness retains its holiness. It comes down to a lower level, but it still has that infinite quality. So what we're defining here is our reaching to God is actually from the most exalted level. And it's that quality which is there in the Torah and Mitzvah. Now, so therefore, you see, while I'm speaking to you, I'm thinking about this whole question of our consciousness of the process. And I'm wondering whether, if we reach to God with a little bit of this consciousness, the Torah and Mitzvah that we then experience has the intensity that we had within us. Whereas if we're not doing it with that intensity, if it's just an unconscious thing inside us, so we are relating to the divine, and we're keeping Torah and Mitzvot, we're studying Torah and we're keeping Mitzvot, but it doesn't have that intensity of the thrust, yearning for godliness. And so therefore, this crown dimension, these three katarim, the three crowns going from above down, it's like three crowns from God. We're not aware of those three crowns. And we don't feel them. We don't feel them in the Torah that we study. We don't feel them in the mitzvot that we do. We're keeping mitzvot because we're Jewish and we want to do the Jewish thing. And there's an opportunity to study some Torah, so we'll go and study Torah. But it doesn't have this burning quality. Whereas if we were reaching, I mean, that beautiful story you told before about the person who'd been years in, God forbid, in this prison, and he was yearning, or he was in this prison, I don't know how long he was there, but he was yearning, he wanted to put on tefillin. And suddenly there's this, through a whole accident, there's this man there with tefillin, and this poor prisoner puts on tefillin. You know, imagine that thirst. The Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, describes this not in terms of being in prison, but in terms of being in the Russian army. In 1825, there was what was called the Cantonist Decree. This was a decree that children or people should be taken into the army. Jewish people should be taken into the army, and the Jewish people taken in could be even children. And what they wanted to do was to separate the Jews from Judaism and try and, if they could, they would force them to convert to Christianity. But although that was what they were trying to do, there were many Jews who retained their Jewish identity in the army. I have at home a book which was put together out of a notebook that was found, which was from a group of soldiers, Jewish soldiers in Tsar Nicholas's army. I think it was Tsar Nicholas, from that early period, 1825 onwards. they had formed a chevra tehillim. They would meet and they would say tehillim together. Even though they were in the army, there were other things they couldn't do, but they would meet and say tehillim together. And it was like as if they were in a community somewhere, like a book with names of the people and you know, when they came, and like a register. I think it was something like that. So what the Mittler Rebbe describes is a person is in the army yearning to keep a mitzvah. And then suddenly he gets the opportunity to keep a mitzvah. And it means so much to him. It's such a tremendous thing. He's in the Russian army. There's no opportunity for anything like this. And suddenly there's the opportunity to keep a mitzvah. And it's such a meaningful thing for him. So that is these three crowns. That's the yearning which inspires the way in which there is the Torah or the mitzvah. Or there was a very moving description in a book about the Holocaust, that there was a group of Gera Hasidim, and every day they would go out of, they were in a work camp, and they would go into the forest and chop wood or something. So there was a person in the group who knew a considerable portion of Talmud by heart. And they would sing a song as they were marching out of the camp into the forest. And the song was led by this man. He would teach them a page or a half a page of Talmud. And he would just saying the words of the Rabbaya, Abaya says. And they were just saying these words of the Talmud. And it was actually, they were learning a piece of Talmud as they were walking into the forest. And then they would cut down whatever they were cutting down, then it would march back and there would be another piece of Talmud. So an incredible thing of snatching, as it were, some little connection with God through Torah at that moment. So the yearning in the soul generates the fire in the Torah and in the mitzvah. And so that is described here. I mean, this tiny diagram doesn't do justice. You know, we need like big diagram with, you know, the sense of the infinite, the yearning in the soul is at the very top of the picture, of the crown, the keter, which is the point where godliness and existence meet. That's the yearning in the soul to connect with God. And then we have lower down in the svirah, we have the different levels, which are also the crown, expressing godliness. So expressing godliness through Torah on the one hand and through mitzvah on the other. So let's go on to line 14. V'yesh l'mam, one can suggest, line 14 on page Vav, the fact it explains in the discourse, Shalosh Pamim Kadosh, that the three times we say holy, 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 Heim Chalokim B'Madrigatom, they have different levels. Let's miss out the brackets. Hu Gam Beyo Alachiluk B'Ofanam. It's also an explanation of the difference of which way they are. Now, what does it mean, which way they are? Sha'akadosh HaRishon, the first kind of holiness, hu ba'ofen demilamata lamayla, is from below to above, as we originally showed it. And the second and third kind of holy, they are in a way of from above to below. Now, how does that relate to it? The or hasovev keta atzmo, because the crown of the surrounding radiance, which is the first kind of holiness, Kevin Shuhum Kadoshu Muvdal Legamre, since it's completely separate, Hagilus Shelo BaAdam, the way it's revealed in the person, Hu BaOfen Shumakil Magish, is the fact that the person recognizes and feels Shezeu Inyan Shemufla UMuvdal Mimenu. The person feels this is something amazingly exalted beyond him or beyond her. V'lechenu mushtokek, and therefore the person yearns, latzeit mimitziyoto, to leave his normal existence, velikalel b'inyan amufla, and to be absorbed into that exalted, amazing thing beyond. So that's why our response is a yearning, because there's a revelation of this keter at the top of the Sfirah, and our response is to yearn for that dimension. But v'chasher or hasovev yored, when that radiance descends, liot keter lezeampin or the malchut, and it becomes the crown of the sixth Sfirah, zeampin or the Sfirah malchut, then az hagina shelo or be'ofen shenimshach lamata, then the way in which it's revealed is that it flows downwards. So let me make another diagram, just to get try to appreciate this. Maybe if we put the infinite up here, and here we have the first level of Keter crown. And then we have these six spherots, and then we have kingship. So from each of these levels, there is also a kind of keter. So there is a keter there, and a keter there as well. The force of these ktarim is to flow down to the person. The force of this higher level is that the person feels a longing for that. It's, in fact, let's use the same color. So the person feels a longing for that most exalted keter. So the revelation of the highest kind of keter induces in the person a longing, a burning fire, burning flame. And that's the first holy. And then the response are these two other kinds of keter, which are Torah and Mitzvah. And they flow down towards the person. Right, so that's why this one induces a movement from below to above, simply because it's so exalted. It's too exalted to shine down into this world, but we can yearn for it. We reach towards it. And then there are these two dimensions that are flowing down towards us. So let's go on to paragraph 3. Now we then have a midrash which talks about this idea of the three times kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Umamshich v'abir la'mayma, and he continues in the explanation of this discourse. This is what it says in the Midrash, Be'inyan Gimel Pamim Kadosh, concerning the three times holy, holy, holy. Mashal, a metaphor, a parable. A parable, Livnei Medina, of the people of a country, She'asu Shalosh Atarot LeMelech, they made three crowns for their king. So the people in the country want to do something special for the king, they make three crowns for him. Ma'asa Melech, what did the king do? Hiniach b'rosho achat, he put one crown on his own head. Ushtayim b'rosh banav, and the other two he put on the heads of his children. Now, I think his children are the same as the people of the country who make the crowns. So in other words, he's taking one crown himself and the other two crowns he's putting on the heads of those who are serving him. Kach b'chol yom, or maybe not. Let's just see. Similarly, in every day, ha'elyonim machtirim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalosh kedushot. The upper, the people of the country here is like the angels. The spiritual forces give God three crowns. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh, and what does God do with these three crowns? Notem b'rosho echad, he puts one on his own head, so to speak. Ushtaim b'roshan shel Yisrael. And two crowns he gives to the Jewish people. So that relates to the verse, for I am holy. V'hit kadishtem v'yitem kadoshim. You should be holy. You should be holy. You should become holy because I am holy. Now that is another verse. Here, this is in the second sedra. V'hit kadishtem v'yitem kadoshim. You should be holy, and you should be holy. You should make yourself holy, and you should be holy. So it's another way in which the sedra refers to this whole idea of holiness. So there is this holiness in God, and He is somehow giving us this holiness. Hainu, last line on that page. Hainu, that means Dechi kadosh ani, the words, because I am holy, Hu ha'atara, that is the crown, Shenotem b'rosho, which God, so to speak, puts on His own head. V'hitkadishtem v'yitem kadoshim, and the verse which says, you should make yourselves holy and be holy, Hem shtei atarot shenoten b'rosham shel Yisrael. Those are the two crowns that God puts on the head of the Jewish people. So, so there we have this this quality of these three crowns that God has, which He somehow, one crown He takes for Himself, and two, He's putting on us. So what it looks like at the moment is that there is this crown of God, this exalted crown, which we, through our yearning for God, we are relating to God on that very exalted level. That's God's crown, so to speak. And then there are these lower crowns, which God is giving to us in some sense, and that's Torah, Mitzvot, which He's bequeathing to us. So we have this intense relationship with God, and God is giving us this this spiritual dimension. Now let's go on to paragraph 4. V'yesh levai ze'al pi ma de'ita b'midrasham. Now it says in the midrash also, kedoshim tiyu. Now the first verse of this of the sedra of the week, the second sedra of the week, is you should be holy. Ki kadosh ani, you should be holy because I, God, am holy. The Midrash says a very strange thing. Yachol kamoni, can you be as holy as I am? Talmud Lomar, the verse says, ki kadosh ani, I am holy, kedushati lemailo mikedushatchem, my holiness is greater than yours. All right, let's maybe just look at that in the actual verse of the Sedra. So it's on the second page of the Sedra, the second page of our notes. God spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the community of Israel, say to them, kadoshim to you, you should be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem elekech, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So the Midrash says, when I say to you, when God says to us, you should be holy, does He mean we can be as holy as Him? No, we can't be as holy as Him. Ki kadosh ani Hashem elekech, because I, God, am infinitely, exaltedly holy. Now that's a very strange midrash. It's a very mysterious midrash. Right, so if we find our way back to section 4. In line 14 there, V'katava Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, discussing this midrash, he says, Shezeh Tamua. This is amazing. This is very surprising. What the Midrash seems to mean is, what the Tzemach Tzedek means by saying it's amazing, how can you possibly imagine, Shi Yisrael Yu Kamoni, that the Jewish people can be like God? We can't be like God. God is infinite. We're tiny human beings. You got that? We're on page Chet. Page Chet. And we're on line 17.
Okay.
Line 17. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kosol Kodaita begins. So what the Tzemach Tzedek means, it's amazing. How can you possibly imagine that this concept of us being holy should in any way be like the holiness of God? Now that's what the Tzemach Tzedek writes, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, the thing is, in another book by the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Belikutei Torah, in another part of it, in Parshat Nitzavim. Now, Parshat Nitzavim is read shortly before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There he explains, Dikdushatchem, when it says your holiness, Hi HaKdusha Shenimshechet, this is the holiness which is flows down, Al Yedei Itarut L'Tata, through the arousal from below, of doing the Maaseh HaMitzvot, of doing mitzvot, U'Kdushati Shelemayne Mikdushatchem. So in other words, your holiness, the holiness that we can call your holiness as a Jewish person, as a human being, your holiness is the holiness you get from doing mitzvah. Kedushati shelemayne mikdushatchem, my holiness, God's holiness, which is above your holiness, hi kedushan alet biyoter, is a much more exalted holiness. Which cannot be reached by the action of the mitzvah. And it only comes from repentance. So in other words, there's a level of holiness which comes from repentance, and that is a much more exalted dimension of holiness. And that maybe connects to the first kind that we were speaking of before, the yearning. The yearning, to me, that yearning has the scent of repentance about it. That's why repentant people, in a certain sense, are higher than the completely righteous. Because through tshuva, through their repentance, they draw down that level of holiness, that exalted level, which is higher than your holiness, as it explains there in the Kutei Torah. So this is actually, the way I understand it, it's preserving this image. There's the yearning of the person for that very exalted level, which is indeed beyond, that's God's level of holiness. And that yearning is for a level which is completely beyond us. But as a response, there is a flow from God to us, which actually becomes part of us as well. It becomes part of us because we learn Torah and we keep mitzvot. So by the fact that we learn Torah, some of the holiness of the Torah is imparted to us. By the fact that we keep mitzvot, we make a beautiful Shabbat environment, for example, at home. The aura of holiness impregnates us as well. But this yearning of tshuva, this is something very special. So, what he describes in the next paragraph, first sight, we should say the way in which the repentant person is higher than the person who never sinned. Even though the tzaddikim also have this service of three times kadosh, is line six, shahagilui de kadosh ha'echad b'tzaddikim, the way in which the first kind of holiness is revealed in the righteous person, who ba'ofen da'alam lemaila, is in a way of being lifted above, Shemishdokikim letzeit mimitziotam, they yearn to leave their existence, v'likalel b'kdushato yitbarach, and be absorbed in godliness. Line 10, u'b'balei tshuva, but in the repentant person, gam kadosh echad, even the first level of holiness, hu ba'ofen dam shecha lamata, is in a way that it flows down below. Now, he's now turning this schema on its head. What we've been saying up to now, in fact, he's correcting a thing that I said before. I said before this yearning is the yearning of the Baal Tshuva. It's slightly different. The yearning of the tzaddik. The tzaddik has a yearning for God, and he's got a yearning which takes him beyond, and he reaches towards Keter, towards that exalted level, and as a result of that, there are these other dimensions which flow down to him or her. But what he's saying now is that the repentant person has gone through some inner transformation. And what that means is there is a new kind of blossoming in the heart of the repentant person, which is actually a revelation of this Keter in their heart below. So it's as if this very exalted level comes to nestle through the process of repentance. It comes to nestle in the heart of the person. And so what's actually happening is that a divine quality is being revealed in the person. You see, from the point of view of the regular tzaddik, the regular righteous person, they see the divine as absolutely beyond them, and they're yearning for the divine, and that generates these other kinds of Torah mitzvah flowing down to them. But the fact of repentance is a kind of inner transformation of consciousness. The person who is repentant, it's not just that they're yearning for God. Their mind has been transformed. Their heart has been transformed. What is now burning inside them is this exalted divine level. And so what is now going to happen is a reinterpretation of that midrash. So that in the next paragraph, line 17, V'yesh lamar b'yubazeh, and suggesting a way of understanding this, d'mar shekatav ha-temach tzedek shezeh temor, when the temach tzedek said, this is amazing, ha-kavana b'zeh hi, what he means is she'en ezeh makom b'sechel, it doesn't fit into our mind. Gam lo b'chokhma shelamayla, not even spiritual wisdom. It's something, it is indeed amazing, not because it's impossible, but because it is something which is beyond our intellect. Dekevan sha'al pi seydish tal shalut, according to the order of the downchaining of the world, nivrahu b'ein aroch labore, a thing that's created is infinitesimally small in relation to the Creator. There's no way of imagining that there should be any comparison. This divine element, Keter, above, is totally beyond any human being. But for the essence of the divine, Ein Shayach, for the essence of the divine, moving on to page Yud, Ein shayach shum gedarim. There's no hierarchy. You see, there's the infinite and there's the essence. In fact, I think we need to. It can begin over here. This repentance line can begin at this level of the essence. From the point of view of the essence, nothing is higher or lower. Everything is one. And godliness is there within the person at an infinitely intense level. The kevan sha'al yedei atshuva, since through repentance, magim ba'atzmut oein sof, one reaches the essence of the divine, shelamayim chokhma, above wisdom, above everything. I miss out the brackets. Lachein al yedei atshuva, therefore, through this repentance, one gets to that state where the midrash says, Could it be like me? And it means it could be like me. Yes, the divine holiness is somehow blossoming inside the heart of the person. So that, now a man called Professor Elliot Wolfson wrote a book about this kind of thrust in the Rebbe's teachings. He called it Open Secret. He was mainly talking about the idea of Mashiach and the way the open secret is that Mashiach is here. But in this discourse, what is happening, the Rebbe is presenting the idea of a change of consciousness, so that the consciousness, one level of the consciousness of the person is that the person is infinitely far from God and he's yearning for God. That's a very righteous position. But a Baal Tshuva, through the process of repentance, actually comes to some sort of realization, which is the essence of God, and that realization takes the person beyond all the barriers of existence. And so what actually is happening to the person is that what we're talking about here at the top of the tree, so to speak, of the Sphira, is all happening inside the person as well. And so it's where the person really discovers a kind of divine quality. And then they are able to put it into practice with Torah and Mitzvot as well. But it's not taking us outside the realm of Torah and Mitzvot. The only thing is, if a person has sinned, they might have sinned against Mitzvot, and they might have sinned against Torah. But repentance takes them to the level of the essence, which is beyond the effect of that sin. So it can be that if you're only measuring things according to Torah and Mitzvot, the person might fall down. Might be a score very weakly. But if you're saying we're now measuring on the level of repentance, repentance reaches to the very essence, and the essence discloses this infinite power within the person. So that's basically the theme of the mitzvah, and these are the three kinds of kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And are we saying them as if we are looking towards God from infinitely below? Or are we saying them as if somehow or other we are lifted up into the infinite exaltation of God through the process of tshuva and through this discovery of Atzmuto Yitbarach, the essence of the divine, where below and above are all the same and it's all an infinite oneness? So that is a kind of very mystical step, and it's typical of the Rebbe's teaching to sort of present this change of consciousness, which relates also to the idea of Mashiach being here and all things relating to the essence suddenly being disclosed. So that is an attempt to explore what this discourse is saying. I'd say what it reveals are all these different forces taking place inside us in relation to the divine, and just the way in which we are, while man is infinitely humble, at the same time the soul is a part of the essence of God. And so on the level of the body, we're infinitely below. But on the level of the soul, we're a part of the essence of the divine. And so balancing those two qualities, that essence of the divine may not be revealed except through very intense states, and repentance is one of those channels for the very essence of the divine within us to be revealed. And this is a kind of miraculous power that is within the possibility of the Jewish people.